Like to say good morning to everyone. We're so thankful this morning to have each and every person on, especially those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We welcome you to our worship service via conference call, Hollywood Heights Church of Christ, and want to say you are a very honored guest. And those who are visiting from other congregations, you too are welcome to our call. You open your Bibles, Acts chapter 19, that's where we'll be at on this morning. Just want to say to everyone on the call who may not be members of the church, you have come on to hear the truth, I pray, and that you will obey it, understanding that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, that washed your sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his church, the only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. That's the only one you ever hear me preach about. There is only but one church in the Bible, one God, one Lord, one faith, one God and Father of all, who's above all and in you all. This morning, buckle up your seatbelts. We'll talk about the evil spirit. The evil spirit. And we have studied from the book of Acts, and hopefully it's been a great study for you all, has been for me. I always learn something new every time I study this book. We just studied the first part of Acts 19, where Paul would talk about in detail why sometimes you have a baptism, but it wasn't a baptism that saved you. If you go back and listen to that sermon, you've been baptized five times. You can be baptized 10 times, wrong, but there's only one true baptism. So perhaps you haven't had that true baptism. Go listen to that sermon from last week, and you talk more about baptism. We're going to pick up at verse number 8 there, where we stopped at last week. And the Bible says there, when he, talking about Paul, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's yet in Ephesus. He's disputing the errors and persuading people to consider the kingdom, which is the church. We talked about that in detail, the church being the kingdom. So let's drop on down to verse 9. And when divers, meaning different, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, notice that way, there's one particular way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, these divers or different ones became hard-hearted. These people, Paul was persuading them, disputing with them about the truth, and they became hard-hearted. They did not believe. They did not believe the way. It's very important for those who are visitors, especially. There is only but one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way to get to the Father but through Jesus. To come through Jesus is to come through his body. The body is the church. And there's no other way. There's one but one way. And I'm convinced that people who are going to be lost will be those who didn't believe the Bible. You can't misinterpret one. You can't. It's no impossible way to misinterpret one. Anytime someone say any church would do, they just don't believe in one. If you believe there's another way, then you don't believe the Bible. So my thing is, people who say they believe in Jesus, but then in the same breath say they don't believe in one church, don't believe in Jesus. Why you say that, Brother Bruce? Because it requires belief based on Scripture. The Bible is the only book we got that tells us about Jesus. So for someone to say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in one way, then you don't believe the Bible, my friends. You're going to be lost. That's what I'm trying to say. People who don't believe the Bible are going to be lost. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go that way. That's what he said. And then he said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. If those of us in Church Christ expect for many people to be saved, then we're unbelievers. And so even if you believe God heard a sinner's prayer, you are an unbeliever. If you say, well, you know, maybe God did hear their prayer, then you're an unbeliever because you don't believe the Scripture. The Bible says in John 9:31, this we know God hears not sinners. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And if you believe that, then there's no more questions about whether did God hear their prayer or not. No, you believe or you don't believe. This is not no in-between thing. It's not like you can 90% believe. This is the problem. And I'm really saying this to members of the church. Members of the church, you got to understand, you can't be a halfway believer here. If you believe there's saved people in Christian in other churches, then you're an unbeliever too. There's only but one way. We have to accept that. We have to accept if you're going to be saved. Why? Jesus said it. That's why. Not many. If you believe you're going to be saved by living in sin, you're an unbeliever. Well, you know, I'm going to be saved. I know. No, you don't. You're not believing. You got to understand. If you don't believe, you have to confess your sins. You're an unbeliever. You got to confess your sin. You have to confess your fault. You have to repent. You have to change. If you believe you can be saved without repenting, you're an unbeliever. So what are you saying, Brother Bruce? There is one true way. That's what I'm saying. I'm not just talking to those who are not members of the church. I'm very directly talking to members of the church. When we hear questions from members of the church who have speculation and a little broad-minded thinking that maybe, God did hear the sinner, then you're now an unbeliever, my friend, my sister, my brother. No, there's one true way. Get this in our head. We better be in the light to be saved. That's going to come this afternoon from Brother Stout. There's a straight narrow, there's a dark world of evil stuff out here. You better believe it, or you'll get caught up in it. So what is my emphasis here? I'm spending time on this way, the way he talked about, which is one. And that applies to all of us, even those who are visiting on the call. You don't believe that you should be, you think you should have instrumental music in worship. You can praise dance, or you can bass mic, or you can beatbox, and you don't have to take the Lord's Supper once a month. You're an unbeliever. Because if believers believe just what they did in the Scripture, what did they do in the Scripture? What did they do in the Bible? How did the Christians worship in the Bible? Well, there was one church we called the Church of Christ. They sing New Testament pattern worship. They would sing. They didn't have instrumental music. They would pray. They were here to preach word. There were no women preachers. There were no women preachers. There were no women apostles. And Jesus could have very well picked a woman for apostle, but he didn't. He didn't. So, you know, then you say, well, was there a Baptist church in the Bible? No. Do we dislike Baptist people? No, that's not the problem. The truth is, there is not a Baptist church in the Bible. The truth is, there's no Methodist church. There's no Catholic church in the Bible. They're not in there, you all. They weren't in existence. God did not. Did not start no Baptist church. And all of my family, many of my family members are Baptist. Look, it's not the people, you all. It's about what are you going to believe before your head hit that dying pillar? Because you can't come back to say, okay, now I believe it. Oh, he was right. Oh, yeah, there's only one way. You can't come back and do it. It's too late then. That's the emphasis this morning. Well, thank you, Bill. I got more stuff I'm going to say today. I got more stuff I'm going to say. We best get it in our heads and examine yourself. Are you truly a believer? James said, why do you say that? There's going to be some believers think they thought they was okay. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, they thought they was believers sharing in the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, many will say, here they are again. Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? These were people who thought they were saved. They were not believers. Jesus said, I would, verse 23, here comes the shock right here. Now, I don't want to be in this number. So I'm going to be real. I know I can't get there living in sin. I already know that. You can't either. We can't bypass the law of God, y'all. Everybody better look in the mirror for themselves. Do a self-evaluation. Or you're going to get up there and be shocked. He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. What was the problem? Sin separated you from God. When you're living in sin, you're separated from God. That's why God doesn't do it. It's not that he can't. It's that you chose sin, and that sin was a barrier between you and God, and God sent his son to remove that barrier, but you are now living in sin by choice. That's why sinners are not heard, because it's their decision to live in sin. So let's continue to think in terms of where am I at when my head hit this dying pillar, if it happens today. I'm talking to everybody, all of us, me included. If it happens today, can you answer the question right now, truthfully to yourself? I will not be saved. You know what you're doing. You know if you're living in sin. You know what your will for sin is, my friend. You know what your will for sin is. You know your thoughts. Thank God he gave us a way to come to repentance, which means we come to repentance, we make a decision not to do it no more. God is not going to possess your body and control you. Neither will the devil. That's what we're getting ready to look at. So what are you saying, brother? The way has to be believed. These people did not believe what Paul was teaching them. And so then he says they went to the school. Paul went into the school. And the only way we're going to learn and understand what we're talking about here is have your heart open to receive. Now, if I come down your street, that's just what you needed to hear. Not just me picking on you. This is what you need to hear. God knows what you need to hear. I don't know what you need to hear. You know what you need to hear. God knows what you need to hear. I'm just an earthen vessel, just like Paul was. He was just preaching. But if you want, they was in school there 2 years. And I would say, you're in school right now. If you're a student of the Bible, when I'm teaching from the Bible, you are a student. Brother Stroud is a student right now. He's not teaching. I'm the teacher. He's the student right now. You understand that? When I'm sitting on the pulpit, when I'm sitting on the pew, I'm the student. When you understand the word study, Paul said, study showed ourselves approved unto God. You wonder why some of you are not growing spiritually? You want to know why you're not getting past where you've been? Because you're not a student yet. When you start studying the Bible, you become a student. You go to a teacher and you're taught. When you're taught, that's when you learn. Many people make the mistake of trying to teach themselves. It wasn't designed for you to teach yourself. God gave preachers, teachers. What the purpose of teaching? Jesus said it like this in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, and every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. So when you're taught, you listen and you learn. And when you learn, you can make change. And when you make change, that pleases God. So these people, that's what I'm suggesting, that if you just looked at the last year, we went into a pandemic. We started hosting a gospel meeting every night, Monday through Friday. That was school. I feel like I've been in school. That's the way I viewed it. I was in school for last year. Went back to preaching school. We heard from instructors, teachers, preachers from all across the nation. Did you take advantage of those opportunities to go to school for 30 minutes a night with no tuition? You didn't, did you? You want to know why you didn't? Do you want me to tell you? You want to answer? Because it wasn't a priority. People that don't want to learn more, they're not going to go to school. You think I'm going to go to school to try to be a doctor? No, I don't want to learn how to be a doctor. I'm not going to school. I'm not going. That's my decision. Why? Because that's not in my interest. So when you don't go to Bible school, that's not your interest. And I hope you're feeling bad. So the rest of the month, you'll go to school for the next 3 weeks and consider going to school and listen to these preachers. I bought instructors from all across the nation, all these schools, Memphis School of Preaching, Brown Trail School of Preaching, Florida School of Preaching. We bought School of Preaching instructors, directors on the call, men who teach these Bible classes every week, and you didn't get on but one or two. You want to know why? You're not a student. You said, Brother Brooks, you're being hard on. Am I? Am I really being hard? Or just the truth hurts? Just the truth hurt. Well, the truth hurts, don't it? Sure it does. You mean to tell me you couldn't take 30 minutes out to learn more about the Word of God? I don't think you mean that. I don't think you mean that. I don't think you mean that. I just think you can be honest, though. He said, yeah. Well, Brother Brooks, it wasn't really that big of a priority because I feel like I know the Bible already. Well, that's your problem. You know, you don't get to the point where you know enough. Here's my saying. The more I know I don't know enough. As long as I know that I don't know enough, I am free to learn more. When you think you're there, that's when you're in trouble. When you think you're there. Now, let's go back to the Bible. Thought that needed to be said. Needs to be said. You see people that they don't come to Bible class. They'll come to morning worship when we're at the building. Come that morning. You don't see them again the next Sunday morning. 30 minutes. Don't come to Wednesday night Bible class. And you holler high, and somebody holler high said they're not growing. It's because you're not a student. You got Monday morning 7:30. You got Tuesday 12:30. You got Wednesday. You say, well, I don't like to listen. You don't have to listen, Brother Brooks. We got all kind of teachers. We got all young men teaching. We got somebody on Monday. We got somebody on Tuesday. You got somebody different on Wednesday. Brother, I teach on Wednesday. I teach on Wednesday. I teach on Sunday morning. He teaches on Sunday afternoon. We got Thursday night. We got all kind of preachers coming on Thursday night, Friday, 12 to 12:30. Saturday, you ought to be studying for Sunday morning because I'm going to be in Acts 18. You tell me you don't have an opportunity to learn. I don't think you mean that. And you know I know, and you don't. You don't have you can't say that, not being a member of our lights. And then those who are joining us, you're welcome to join all those calls. Every one of them available to you. Same number you just called today. You want to learn? You want to grow up? You got to study. Bible says, study showed our self-approval in God. And work when it needed, not be ashamed, right and divine the word of truth. Now let's get to this evil spirit. God wrought special miracle in verse 11 by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits went out of them. Now, first of all, I've stated throughout this study of Acts is that the miracles that we're reading about here are not happening today. There's no devils possessing nobody's body. There's no speaking in tongues. There's no reason for exorcisms. You know, you've been watching TV. There's no one raising the dead people in the graveyard. Every dead person is still dead. All that's over. God used it, and I'm using it. If you just want to be a student, go back and listen to all the sermons. I'll talk about why miracles don't exist today, because we got the Bible. Now, faith come by hearing. If you see somebody raised from dead, God doesn't develop faith like that. Faith come by hearing the word of God. Your faith will be developed by your ears, with your ears, rather. You want a faith? You got to take the word of God into your mind. When you hear it, it goes into your brain. And in that brain, you make a decision. That's how God works. You're not going to see nobody get bit by a snake and live so you can bleed. Faith don't come that way. And notice this now. If you can't get faith from the Bible, back to those unbelievers. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe. Must. It's the must. That he's rewarding them that diligently seek him. So what you're seeing down here is not happening today. So if someone try to sell you a handkerchief or an apron, you're wasting your money. Or a towel, some kind of cloth, prayer cloth or something like that. And people still doing that stuff. They ain't doing nothing but taking your money. There's no power in those cloths. God don't do that. The Bible says these were miracles, special miracles. And special miracles do not occur today. They were wrought by God. They were extraordinary. They were not normal things going on. And I mean, that was God. God used Paul to perform this miracle. But who did it? It was God. Notice what he said. It was wrought by God. That's what the verse just said. What was wrought by God? This miracle. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That's clear. Paul didn't have this power without God. So God was using men then because they didn't have no Bible. New Testament like we got today. So Paul had to prove, God used a miracle to prove that this man is from God. That's what he did. That's why Paul could do that. Now watch what happens to the people looking, because the purpose of it was for them to believe. Then watch this happen. Watch this. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, take upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure, meaning command, you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. See that? How many of you have watched that movie, Exodus? Probably, you think stuff like that going on? It's not. These were vagabond, wandering Jews, frauds, trying to be exorcists to get evil spirits out of people. Their motive was not to save the person, their motive was to make money. They were trying to be like Paul. See that? And they wanted to do it in the name of Judah. We command you by the name of Jesus or by his authority. They couldn't do what Paul was doing. But watch what happened. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. These are seven sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva, just trying to perform these exorcisms. Now watch this. Here's why I gave my title at verse 15. And the evil spirit. You see that? One. Mark that. This is one evil spirit. Answered and said, Jesus I know. He's talking. Paul I know. But who are you? So these men do not realize that they're dealing with the devil. And some of us don't know when we're dealing with the devil. Notice this evil spirit. Three things I want you to point out about it. This evil spirit is speaking through this man. This evil spirit has knowledge of what he's doing. And he have no fear of those men. It was Paul that he was concerned about. It was different. He said, Paul, I know. I know Jesus. But you guys have no meaning to me. Talk about them seven sons. Who are you? Now, he says, these seven men. And he asked him, so who are you? You think, don't you should pause here to understand that the devil cares nothing about us. He know he can't win when we got God with us. Well, these guys don't have God with us. The devil is an evil spirit, you all. We are dealing with in a spiritual world right now. Boy, whole lot of things going on. Let's talk about why they're happening. Why they're happening. The devil, or Beelzebub, they call him the prince, Abaddon, Apollyon, he got all these names. That old devil, the serpent, Satan. Him. It's real. He's real. It's not this pitchfork thing looking with a tail and a pitchfork in his hand. That's not what we're talking about here. Listen to the Bible. And let me just say up front. Ain't none of you got no devil possessing you. Ain't none of us, the devil ain't possessing our body to control us. And God is not going to possess our bodies. And control our behaviors. So whose behavior are you being influenced by? That's the thought. If you go to Ephesians 6:11, the Bible says this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That wiles there, I mean, in the best way I can explain that wile, it's a trick. piece of cheese on a trap. When you're trying to catch a rat, you wow. You put a cheese on a trap, the trap, and he gonna go for the cheese, and the trap gonna snap his neck. That's the same thing the devil do. He put the cheese on the trap, but you gotta go sniffing for it. And once you stick your head in the trap, that's what he was hoping you would do. Am I making myself clear? We got that, don't we? Sure we do. So let's look at what the devil can do. Paul didn't come back in verse 12. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're battling not with Brother Brooks or the next person. That's not our fight. But against principalities. What is that? Chief rulers. Principal beings. Then he says, powers. You got powers. Powers, plural. Authorities. The devil and his angels were cast out. Don't you think the devil is not roaming free here to influence us? Yes. Remember Job? He said, what are you doing? He'll approach God. The devil. God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to and from. Up and down the earth. He was in and out of homes. Back then when Job time. He was in and out of houses, in and out of families. He's doing the same thing to us. In and out of our house, in and out of our homes, in and out of our lives. He's in there trying to destroy. But Job had something going for him. With those who have been washed in the blood and living for God, you got something going for you. You got a hedge. You got a protected barrier. That is the blood of Jesus. We're not going to talk about this afternoon. I'm not mistaken. That's the only hope we got. If you haven't been baptized, you're totally exposed to the devil. You have no hope. Outside of the Church of Christ, you have no hope. There's a hedge around Job. He had to ask God's permission. We allowed the devil to attack Job. He could not touch Job until God said so. This is a spiritual world we're dealing with here. The guy got power against it. He's a ruler of darkness. Ruler. That's a leader. Rulers of darkness of this world. That's where we're at. Well, man, what's going on in this world? There it is right there. That's the answer. The answer is the rule of darkness is loose. He's the rule of the world. Emperors of darkness of this state of things that's going on in this world. Spiritual wickedness. What is this? Spiritual things of wickedness. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Highly refined. Evil. You say, well, man, you know, what is our president thinking? High places. The devil is everywhere. Not just in the White House, in your house too. Just like he up there. Don't worry about one person, but yourself. What is he influencing you to do? Do you want to know why men would kill their wives and children? This man just recently here, just this week in Houston, man killed his wife in front of his little children and then turned the gun on himself. He said, Brother Brooks, what happened? The devil took over? No, the devil took over. It was his choice. He made the decision to do that. That's evil. When man killed a little girl here recently. Spilled some milk. You want to know why people are killing people? Want to know why the crime rate is up? Know why police would put his knee on the neck? You want to know why a man was a kicker, Asian lady just kicker, and everybody sat there and watched? Did the devil make him do it? Did the devil make him do it? Is everybody possessed by the devil? Is every police officer possessed by the devil? No. No one is possessed. But it don't matter whether they have a uniform on or they have a suit on or they have a dress on. A woman can carry out the same acts as a man. It ain't about the skin color. The problem is not skin. We need to get this in our head. The problem is sin. till we figure that out. We're unbelievers. Oh, brother, don't tell me. Okay, I'm just telling you. The problem is sin across the world. It's not just in America. It's not just in the Middle East. It's all over the world. Why did God send his son? Where did he send his son? Just to America? No, he sent it to the world, for God so loved the world. The whole world is filled with sinful people. The question is, what number are you in? What you see when you look in the mirror is the question. Because I'm going to tell you something. We get so caught up in what other people are doing, we miss out what so-called little stuff we do. But I'm going to tell you something. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to show you this, how God viewed people how God viewed us when we choose to willfully commit sin. Everybody turn to Hebrews 10:25. I told you to hold your belt because I'm not quite finished yet. I got some more stuff I want to say. It's going to be a little tough too. But let me remind you, as much as I talk to you, I'm speaking to myself. And until all of us understand, the important thing about being saved is that you got to look at you. You cannot change, Brother Brooks. I can't change you. The only person that's going to be responsible for you is you. Listen to Hebrews 10:25. You've heard this, not forsaking, assembling ourselves together as a man of some men, to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin by control of the devil. Don't say that, does it? You don't need that, do you? If we do what? What's the little word? Sin. If we sin how? Willfully, by my own self-will, what I decide to do, that we have received after you know the knowledge of the truth. This is after the fact. You say, you know the truth. Church of Christ, you know the truth. God said there remaining no more sacrifice for what? Sin. What's the problem today? Sin. What's the problem in the world? Sin. What is sin? Evil. Where did evil come from? Devil. Spell devil. D-E-V-I-L. Take the D off. What you got? Then he said you got a certain fear for looking up for a judgment, a fiery indignation. Notice this. This is all you got to look forward to. They're going to devour the adversary. What? That means enemy. God said when you choose to willfully do things, you are now an enemy of God's. Well, he that despised Moses' law, and look at God, the Hebrew writer said, remember on the Old Testament law, when they didn't do what God told them, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And then he said, how much more sore, no, which means how much more punishment should we be thought of who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. This is after the fact. He said, no, tell me Jesus had not. And then God did that then. They died without mercy. Someone was stoned to death. God sent angels, wiped many of them, evil folk. But now that Jesus comes, God is saying to us through the Hebrew writers, if you think I was tough then, what do you think going to happen now that my son had died on the cross for you? You counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. You said it wasn't holy. It wasn't good enough for you to be washed in the blood, be baptized. It wasn't, the blood wasn't enough. He said, done despite the Spirit of God. So now God is saying you're an enemy. You're despite my Spirit of grace. I've done all this good for you. I've done this for you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation and appears to all men, Titus 2:11. His grace came through Jesus. His mercy came through Jesus. Who did have mercy on the whole world? That was God's decision. He gave the whole world a chance. And then he said in verse 30, for we know this. We know him that said, vengeance belong to me. I will recompense, saying, Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And Hebrew writer reminds us, considering God says, I will take care of you when you stand before me. You willfully neglected to serve me and to live according to my will. You had your own will. You did your own thing. And Hebrew writer says, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What are you saying, man? We don't want to face God following our own will. That's what he's saying. So when you start looking at people who are going to be lost, it's going to be those of us who choose to do what we want to do, knowing what we want to do is not according to the will of God. You say, Brother Brooks, you know, I'm trying. I know. A lot of times we say we're trying, we're lying. See, the thing about it is, if you don't want to do wrong, you got a way to help, get help through the scripture. But godly sorrow is the only thing that's going to work repentance. You're not going to repent until you're sorry what you're doing to God. Then you'll start making some changes. Now, if we look at all the stuff that's going on in the world, what do you call it? The stuff we're seeing today. We call it evil. It's evil. Evil. Now, the Bible warns us about evil. Evil are seductive spirits. It's amazing to me that people can read this and not believe it. Not believe it. Don't believe it. Listen to the Bible. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, for those who are taking notes, those who are being students this morning. Now, the Spirit, that's a big S, that means that's God's Spirit, speaking expressly, clearly, that in latter time, some shall depart from the faith. That means they're going to leave the truth. What's going to cause a person to leave the truth? Giving heed to seducing, spirits. You know, we know what seduction is. They lure you in, right? And doctrines, that's the teachings of devils. Devils, spirits, devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having a conscience seared with a hard iron. Evil spirits don't have a conscience. When you're influenced and your conscience is not bothered, then you're right there in that category. Do you know you could be sleeping with an evil spirit? Influence. So, because if your husband is beating on you, he's been influenced by an evil spirit. If your wife is just one of the wives that don't know what submission to her husband, evil spirit influence her. Evil spirit will seduce you and won't bother them because their conscience is seared, hardened, calloused. People are kicking against the truth. Don't bother them. Evil spirit will influence you to lead the church across. They can influence a heart. You can't tell me. You can't tell me. You know, people say that. I just don't believe it. I just can't see it. Are you being influenced by evil? That's why you don't see it. Faith don't come by seeing. Come by hearing. It just boggles my mind. What boggles your mind? It's what's influencing you to think like you're thinking. And so when you leave the church, depart from the faith, you were influenced by someone evil. Evil spirit. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, I'm not being influenced by no evil spirit. Okay. Yeah, because you ain't never looked in the mirror. You know what? You got to turn around and see. You can't put your head in the back of the mirror and see it. Ain't no eye in the back of your head. When you turn around, you'll see. You'll see yourself. I'm convinced that if I don't look in the mirror myself, it's useless to look. I'm looking in the mirror for me. Let me give you some more examples. Evil spirit influence. Again, this is not devil possessing you. It ain't no Flip Wilson situation. Devil made me do it. No. Evil spirit is what you're led by. You make the decision. Evil spirit influences us to do anything that is devilish, sinful, against the will of God. They can, that evil spirits can influence you to be unfaithful to church, influence you to miss Bible class, influence you to ignore the Bible as truth. It'll influence you to not get baptized, not repent, not confess, to party on Saturday night, get up Sunday morning like you ain't done nothing wrong, to curse, use dirty words. It'll influence men to shackle women, not marry. Women shackling women, sexual sin, fornication, adultery. All kinds of things. Just like the man killed his children, drugs, alcohol, lying, cheating, and stealing. Evil spirit influenced old people, old women, old men, young men, and young women who choose to live their lives and to conduct their behavior not according to God's will. So who are you? Paul, I know, he said. Evil spirit said, Jesus, I know him. I know Paul. But who are you? Who are you? That's what he asked. What emphasis this devil is saying to these guys? I don't have nothing that you can't handle me. Dude, is the devil working on you like that? Or do the devil know you got God? Do he give you any respect? Do the evil spirit give you any respect? He said, Brother Bruce, I ask a question. And the evil spirit, notice the verse 15. The evil spirit, this is the one spirit. Answer said, Jesus, I know. He knew something about Jesus. He knew something about Paul. Not these other men, these several men. And turn the Bible to Romans 8 now. I'll show you what he knew. Romans 8. I'm watching the clock too. I'm not going to be that much longer. But this is important. Because you hear people say, I'm concerned about some stuff. I'm Christians. People have been in church a long time. In Romans chapter 8. Now, let's start at verse number 8, just for the sake of time. You read all that, Romans 8, you see what I'm saying. So, then notice this. So, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Pinch your flesh. That's your body. You know, if your hand's still, that's your flesh. You take your body into a room you're not supposed to be in, that's your body, that's your flesh. Whatever you're doing with your hands and with your mind and with your body is flesh. But then Paul said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. See that? So we got a fleshly body, but the spirit of God can dwell in us. But now he said, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, we don't get it. Now, you say, well, right there, see, God is possessing my body. Now, that's not what he's talking about. But he said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. Do you know God cannot sin? If he was in your body controlling you, you would never sin. Therefore, your mortal bodies, he says, that he raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Now, look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. What did he say? What did he just say? To live after the flesh. Whatever my body wants, I give it. That's my choice. That's my will. But that's a choice. You're debtor not to the flesh. You're not debtor to live after the flesh. But if we live out the flesh, you shall die. What is that? That's spiritual then. If we follow what our body wants, our lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, those three things. If you have so much pride that what I said and kind of bothering you right now because you don't want to admit that you're the person I'm talking about that didn't take advantage of the cause, that's flesh. You bother by that. Why? Because it's truth. But if you continue living, you're going to die. You're not going to go spiritually. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you stop doing things in the body. By if you through the spirit do mortify the body, you shall live. For as many, here it is. Here's why it says not devil possess, it's not God possess you. As many as are what? Led, L-E-D. By the spirit of God. They are the son of God. Ah. So we're led by the spirit of God. Yeah. You have a choice. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in the fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's how we came to God. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit. That's God's a big S and little S. The spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. It's giving us something that we are the children of God. Now, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when you start looking, what is the wages of sin? Sin brings about spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. But what is the gift of God? Eternal life. When do we get that? When we're led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, let's go to Galatians 5 now. Galatians 5. Let's get this. Let's make this real clear. Let's start at verse 16. Are you out there? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust is against the Spirit. See, the Spirit ain't going to never tell you to sin. It's going against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. They don't agree. These are contrary to one to other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and anything that looks like that. Of which I tell you before, as I also told you in the time past, that they who do such, they which do such things, it's a choice, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, spirit, temperance. See, God don't lead you to sin. He said, Brother Brooks, so how does it happen? In Acts 2:38, the people had killed Jesus. They asked Peter, what to do? Peter said in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know, surely God had made that same Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That was their sin, they crucified Jesus. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, meaning their mind. Me and the brother, what shall we do? Which the same thing happened with us today. When you know you're wrong, your mind starts saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about this? He said, repent, make a decision in your mind. First thing you do is make your choice to follow God's will and not yours. What you going to do about it? He said, repent and be baptized. So he told these people beginning their life with God. He said, you first got to repent that you killed Jesus. Now you got to get baptized. What's the baptism for? For the remission of sins, he said. So you get the forgiveness of killing Jesus. That's what he was telling them. And then he said, you shall receive something. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Eternal life. The Holy Spirit don't come in your body. It's when you hear the word of God being preached to you, or you read the scripture. The scripture was given to us by the Spirit. John 16:13. I be when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you in all truth. So the Spirit gave the apostles the information to write in the book. So when you follow the scripture, when you follow what the teaching of the Bible, you're being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you away from fornication. It will lead you away from adultery. It'll lead you away from envying, strife, seditions, murdering, killing, hating, racism. It don't matter what it is, ism it is. Denominationalism, it'll lead you away. It's a one church. It's going to lead you away from it. Anything that the devil presents, it's the word here. The only thing that can possess your body that's going to help you is when you receive the word of God with meekness. James 1:21. He said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You'll never be a better husband until the word of God leads you to be a better husband. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I want to be more spiritual. You're never going to be more spiritual until you start following what the scripture tells you to follow. You can't be more spiritual until you decide to be more spiritual. You want to be spiritual, you got to be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit gave us the Bible. And when you're led by the Bible, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, in righteousness. It all comes from the scripture. That's how you're led by the Spirit. So you're not possessed. You're making decisions to do what you want to do. If you're here on the call today, you have not been born again, you are rejecting God. You're rejecting the Spirit. In essence, that's blasphemy. When you reject the Spirit, you're never going to obey it. John 12:48, he that rejected me received not my word. Notice what he received. Not my word. I wanted to judge them. The words that I've spoken, the same would judge it in the last day. But that's it. Look at what this one Spirit as I close. In verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on him. So God allowed this evil spirit to take this man that he was in and possessed the body. And he leaped on him. The devil's in control of this man's body. And overcame him. But the devil is tough. He prevailed against 7 men. He whooped them so bad they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He whooped them out of their clothes and shoes. Running out of the house. The devil is powerful, and we cannot win without the Holy Spirit leading us, dwelling in us, without the Word of God, dwelling in your mind. The devil will win if you stay away from Bible study. Because you have no information to help you. Maybe you can be overcome. Maybe you're here on the call and you're overcome by sin. Your life is in a shamble. You're not at peace in a time of a storm. You feel without God, naked and wounded, whipped up. Maybe an abused wife. Maybe a troubled mother. Somebody downtrodden with trouble. Troubled mind. Someone whose world is crumbling around, fighting addictions, troubled home, marriages, relationships. What is it? What is the result of all this? Where did it come from? Who's causing it? Who's at fault? The choice is mine. The choice is mine. Brother Brooks make mine decisions. The devil don't make them for me. The devil don't make them for you. You make your own decision. Just like you can make your decision this morning. You can make a decision this morning to hit 5-star and say, I'm sinning, I repent. That's a personal choice. You don't have to do it. God ain't going to make you do it. He ain't going to possess your body. Say, okay, now that's what you said. He's not going to possess you and make you go get baptized. You have to believe baptism before you remission your sins. It's like you just read in the Spirit. Spirit gave us the information. Be baptized and repent of your sins. He gave you that information. You don't have to do it. He's not going to make you do it. Devil ain't going to make you do it. It's a self-will. If you're going through all this kind of stuff, why don't you try God? Why don't you try the Spirit of God? Let him lead you some. Why don't you try following the Scripture for a change? Try to find out. Try to follow God. Be wise. He said, well, Brother Bruce, the world just seems to be getting worse and worse. Well, what do you expect? Tell your Bible. What do you think is going to happen? If you believe the Bible, you know what's going to happen. Perilous times are here. They were coming a long time ago. Paul told Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Do we believe this world will get better? You can't read the Bible and believe that. Man, I can't believe. Why don't you believe it? I believe it. When I see stuff getting worse and worse, well, that's what the Bible says. I guess, you know, if the Bible says it, you know, we should be expecting it. People are going to hate the truth. Paul told Timothy, you continue the things which thou hast learned. See that? He was a student. He told him, study, show yourself approved. Then when you learn, you stay with what you learned. Has been assured of, no one of whom thou hast learned. That's what I was telling you all. This is how you get it. When you listen to the word, and you take it in the student, you learn. Paul said to Timothy, that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture, was made able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, the proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished all the way. That's 2 Timothy. I started at verse 13 and read on to verse 17. Is the world going to get better? No. Can you get better? Yes. Can I get better? Yes. How are we going to get better? When our will is to do the will of God. That's when you're going to get better. So when your will is to do the will of God, you'll do what God said in the scripture. And when you fall short, you'll do what he said to get back. So if you're on a call this morning, you say, Brother Brooks, I want to be saved. Well, that's what it is. You can't be saved. No one can stop you from being saved. But you have to make a decision to do the will of God. To be saved, you must hear how Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross. That comes from this book. You're never going to see that with your own eyes. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. How do we know he came? Because we read it. Whereby when you read, you may know what Paul knew in the scriptures. We read Ephesians chapter 3. You read. You learn. You hear. So you're hearing this morning. What to do? I'm telling you, Jesus died for you. John 3:16. God so loved you, he gave his son. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul talked about how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Jesus, when he resurrected after he suffered on that cross, being brutally beaten, mocked, and spit upon, God allowed all that to happen for us to make a decision, to give us the free will to make a decision. I did this for you. Do you want to serve me? Well, you say, well, but what happened? Well, you're servant to whomever you obey. Let's go to Romans chapter 6:16. Here's what they said. He said this. Notice what he said in Romans 6:16. What shall we say then? 15. Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. You just can't do what you want to do. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? To servants you are to whom you obey? Choice. Whether it be sin unto death, spiritual death, or obedience unto right. So you can continue to sin or you can obey God. It's a choice. But God be thanked, verse 17, that you were. These people, he said, God, thank God, Paul said, you were the servant of sin. So these people in Rome, in the Roman letter, Paul said, you were servant of sin, but you obeyed from the heart. There's that mind. That's the mind. As a man thinking in his heart. The form of doctrine which was delivered you. So you can obey what I'm teaching you. I'm delivering you the doctrine or the teaching of what the Bible says. So, brother, your choice is to do it or not to do it. If you want to do it, Jesus gave his command, Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of a suffering Savior to every creature. That's the message that should bring us to God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Then Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You believe that? You believe it? Because you just heard it. I just told you. Now, your will lines up God when you say, I believe, I want to be baptized. That's all you would say. You say, well, I just can't see baptism. I just don't think you got to. That's because that's your will. You ain't even lined up with God. You still talking about you. We don't start talking about what God said to you. You're not going to be saved until you do my prayer. You got to obey. You serve whoever you obey. If you didn't obey God, you obeyed your daddy, the devil. You can have two fathers. You can have your one or the other. Your father is the devil. Jesus said you have your father the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. Yeah, the devil can be your father when you choose to obey him. Now God can be your father, but you got to obey him. Whoever you want to obey, that's who your daddy is going to be. Now, say so we said you hear. Number two, you believe. If you write these down, here's what you got to do to be saved. Don't be led by the evil spirit. Hear the gospel. Believe, number two. Repent, number three. Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. You're all going to likewise perish. 3 and 5. God winked at one time in ignorance. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He don't want us to repent. Parents. He wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to make a decision. Then, after you make that decision, be willing to make a confession. What confession? I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Acts 8:35-37, you'll see there. 38, you'll see there that man wanted to be baptized. He asked the preacher, what's stopping you from baptizing? He said, if you believe. And the man said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Then Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, when you confess me before men, you got to make that confession. You got to say it in front of people. You can say it on this call. We'll open it up where you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. I'll take your confession off this conference call right now. You just hit 5 stars and say, I want to make that confession and be baptized. We'll take that confession today, and you meet us at the building, the Church of Christ, Hot Light. Or you, wherever you are, I'll make arrangements to get you baptized. You want to make that confession? You want to obey God? You hit 5 stars on this phone. Bet the 5 in the asterisk. Say, my name is Tommy Brooks. I want to be baptized. I want to make that confession. I'll say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Tommy Brooks, do you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God? Tommy Brooks would say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you just obeyed God by confessing that you believe. Now you complete your obedience and baptism. Get you to the water. I hope you don't get killed on the way. But I thank God will take care of you. I taught a lady. Her daughter got on the call. I taught her the gospel, and Lauren Thomas, her name, and her mom was in a whole other state. She went up there and got her mom, and I was on the call where she said, you take me to the church building, and don't you have no record, nothing. That lady didn't want nothing to happen to her before she got to that water. She made it through. I thank God, you'll be all right. If you want to get baptized, you'll make it. God will give you that chance. If you're honest, sincere, and you're seeking it, and you really want to be saved, get 5 stars on your phone. We'll baptize you, then your Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible, Church of Christ. Well, I believe I'm saved, but I don't think you got to go there. Don't come to get baptized. You ain't no believer yet. No sense. You just don't get wet. You just don't get wet. There's not, ain't no sense of messing up no clothes. But if you believe all of it, then that's when you're ready to get baptized. All of it. Right down to which church it is, Church of Christ. That's the one. Then the second audience I'm speaking to is members of the Church of Christ. And you can come home, you can get 5 stars and say, I repent, I make your confession like God commanded you. Be obedient, just do what he say. I follow and show. But I need prayer. Pray for me. That I make my choice to do God's will. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe we need praying for you. Sometimes God gives time to people because other people pray. Righteous praying for them. Not because they did anything right. Because the righteous were praying for them. Maybe your mama prayed for you, maybe while you're still on this call. Your preacher may have prayed for you. Your sister may have prayed. Somebody would, I'll say it like this, rather than name. The righteous prayed for you. Somebody that was righteous got their prayer through for you. That's why you're still okay. But you've been living life. You know how you've been living. You know how you've been living. But you're still alive. What is that? That's God's spiritual blessing. Only to Christians. It's only to a child of God we allow that he will listen to their prayers. So if you're on the call today, we're getting ready to have the song of encouragement. And I think he said the song of encouragement is going to soften and tender. And Jesus is calling. He's calling. Come to me. Are you laden, heavy laden? I'll give you rest.